Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I the end. In the prophet Haggai, first chapter. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jotzedek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Thy people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed house, and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, that say the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is no war. And he that earneth wage to pull it into a bag with oars. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looketh for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her foot. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountain, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hand. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jotzadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obey the voice of the Lord their God, and the word of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him. And the Lord and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, said the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jotzedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king, chapter 2, in the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jotzedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that so this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? It is not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jotzedek, the high priest. And be strong, all the people of the land, said the Lord, and work. For I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. According to the word I have covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Until there. In our hymn, there is a word which we came at several stanza, the world sanctuary. And we know in the prayer of the assembly, We have remember a man was first considered things on the fleshly way. He has considered things as an unconverted will consider things. And he sees those people. They were doing evil, and everything too seems to be successful for them. But something occurred. He entered into the sanctuary. And then everything changed. It changed about the men he saw, the men he regarded with envy, but also things changed with himself. What says he? He says, verse 22, we have not read it. I was as a beast before thee. I was as a beast. All that is a very truth on his own state, but also the brothers and sisters. It's a very state in our own state when we consider things from down. When we consider things like with our fleshly eyes. It's always like that. We are like a brute. We are, in fact, like foreign to the thought of God. You cannot expect a dog to understand all the pleasure, all what delights his master. You cannot wait for that. Exactly the same. We have some relationship with God, with the Lord, but we cannot understand really his thought. And we are in a very bad period of the history of the church. We have quote also today, we have remember the chapter 2 or 3 of Revelation. And the last assembly, the last churches, the church of Laodicea, we could call it the church of illusion. Illusion on their own state. Illusion, totally illusion. I'm rich. I lack nothing. And the Lord say, I counsel thee to buy. I counsel thee to have something for your eyes that you may see. I counsel thee. And in that wonderful verse who follow, I shut such eye who I love. And he had, lo, I am at the door, and I knock. And how many times we have seen that very care of the Lord with knocking at our doors. And when we open the Bible, we have several things to consider. It's first we have considered that it is the Word of God. It's God who speaks. It's all the weight of the one who speaketh in it. All that weight. Not the weight of a very important man, a queen or a president and what anybody. It has a mighty weight, an eternal weight. It's important. Oh, dear brother, we need to be much more aware of what it is to open the Bible. But also, in the Bible, we see the heart of God. The heart of God, who know that we are feeble children. We know he knows all the things that are around us. He knows that the times are bad, and he wants one thing. He wants to make us grow, to bring us near his heart, near the heart of Christ. He wants us to be more like Christ, to resemble the wonderful model we cannot imitate. And for that, he used different way. The sanctuary, the experience of the sanctuary, the experience did Asaph in Psalm 73. Have I made the experience of the sanctuary myself? It's a question we may ask. We may ask. When we are in the sanctuary, all is of God, nothing of us. That's a real realization of the sanctuary. We should be in the sanctuary every Sunday morning at the breaking of the bread. We should be in the sanctuary. And when we enjoy, when we are really in the sanctuary, then I'd say, a dear brother of the beginning, that's or nothing. We could not be satisfied with something else that the presence of the Lord tasted. That the Lord in front of the heart and nothing else. Our dear brother, they are very dear. Our brother of family, they are very dear to our heart. But the Lord is up, is over. The Lord is paramount. The Lord fills the heart. That's the sanctuary. And we need that. And that is possible where two or three are gathered and wait upon him. I want to say something for the young people. Maybe when we are young, we say, well, the meetings, it's a question for the old brethren, old brothers. No, Fred, no. The meeting is a matter who concerns everyone who is there, everyone who belongs to the Lord. It's concerned. If we come, young men, young lady, or sisters, brother, if we come and say, we are going to meet the Lord. To meet in reality. To meet him, to see him, to touch him. To enjoy what, by his Spirit, he will show of himself. We will see him. And that we cannot have ever elsewhere except where we are waiting upon him. It demands hearts directed towards him. It demands hearts submitted to him. The Lord cannot be at a table where we have all organized ourselves. It's not possible. If I come to your home and change everything, that won't be anymore your table. You are not, if I do that, you are no more the master of the house. If we do that to a man, we understand very well that he won't appreciate. And we don't do it, for we know that we will not be welcome. But we do it for, in this Christendom, we do it for the Lord. And we do it sometimes among the assembly, gathered unto the only name of the Lord. We do it by routine, by custom. We do it for we came with with hearts so occupied by this and that, but not by the Lord. In the prophet Haggai, the situation, it's a dark situation. There are a few who have come back from the transportation, or there are not many. We could say those people are very good people. They are the best of the Israelites. They are the best. They don't want to stay with the nation. They have come back to the land God has promised them, to the very place, Jerusalem, where the Lord has said, I will put my name here. And that's for us, I speak of a solemn manner of the meeting. A meeting where the Lord has put his name. This is not a meeting where some dear brother and sister have agreed to have a meeting. To have to hire a hall or whatever you want. No, this is not that. It's a place where the Lord has led some exercise with brothers and sisters at a certain time to dress the table. That's a meeting, according to Israel. And that very place is important. We may be very few, but we remember we met around a person who is living. Very often we quote the verse of Matthew 18, we say, where two and three are gathered into his name, I'm there into my name. I'm there in the midst of them. We quote it normally, but we really take it like that. Where two or three are gathered, I am there in the middle of them. We forget in our mind, very often we forget in the where I've put my name. We forget that, and that changes everything. If we go and have a very nice picnic with brothers and sisters, the Lord is not in the middle of us. He is with us in a certain way, as he has promised in chapter 28 of Matthew, that's true, but he is not. It cannot be seen, enjoy, touch, as it can be, where the hearts are here, where he has put his name, unto his name. And here in Haggai, they have begun, long time ago, several years ago, they have begun. They have now the altar. But something is missing. And they don't bother on it. Oh, dear brother, we are not like there to criticize those Israelites. For do I not read in my heart very similar things? Do I cry that the place where the Lord has put his name are so weak? They are in ruin. Do I cry for that? We forget that. I remember I have read once a brother told in a letter the last visit he did to a very devoted servant of the Lord just a few days before his death. And I was stricken. This brother tell that they have prayer together. The both. The visitor and the old brother. And the subject of the prayer of our dear brother, who was very near of his death, it was the church. Not he. The church. The church, something was very precious in the heart of the Lord. Which realization is we cannot imagine how is the realization of a church like he wants is important for him. Of course, every Christian belongs to the great church. That's true. No one is forgotten. But to realize in obedience, with hearts towards him there at the place. At the places where he put his name, to realize the church as he wanted. What a pleasure for him. What a thing, a beautiful thing for him. What a thing is for him the answer on the earth of the work of his soul. So, in Haggai, the Israelites have no concern. Oh, they were pious. They were certainly interested in things of God. They were certainly bring their sacrifice in due time and so on. And God has not spoken for a while. But now he can begin to speak. For I don't know if you have not stricken, as I am always when I read a guy, God speaks always. And that's wonderful. He speaks always. You see, what is very bad thing, it is when God doesn't speak. When God doesn't speak, it means that our state is so low that we are not able to hear. When God doesn't speak, the silence of God is something terrible. Terrible. An example. In 1 Corinthians 5, you have not a word for the guilty man. Not possible to speak. He is, there is a wall around his heart. and the word of God could not pass. God doesn't speak. But God, when God speaks, it's a grace. It's a privilege. It's something wonderful. He wants to speak. To touch what? Heart and conscience. The two. Don't remember. If we look to have the heart touch, very quickly, it is sort of human sentimentality with touch. If we want only conscience, we get very quickly legalist. But heart and conscience. Heart and conscience. He wants to touch. And he speaks. And he speaks at different moments in due time. Very often we find this expression, due time, in the Word of God. Or if we don't find the expression, we find the way, the due time. The time of God. And there is a time of God to speak to me and to speak to you. When it is that time. When my heart is ready to hear. And I want to believe that all our hearts are ready to believe. Are ready to receive. Are ready to say, like Eli, the priest, high priest Eli said to Samuel, "Speak, O Lord, thy servant hear or listen." Eli knew a thing, but he has not done for himself, or so few. I know the thing, but maybe it can be said of me, of you, like it can be said of Eli. That's a very serious thing. Does the word of God has on my heart the entrance he should have? The entrance of the God was so lovely. The God was wanted to be my father, of the Lord was given his life for me. Was find in that wretched thing I am, he has find some value. He has given his own blood. Verse 4 of Haggai. Is it time for you to dwell in your house? Or we have plenty of time to do our own business. Or to do the things we like. Eh bien, if we liked the things of God, if we have love in our heart, we have read it that in to John, if we have love for God, we will try to please him. The proof, I love God, I'll try to please him, I try to obey, I will say, as I repeat, speak, Lord, thy servant listen. Ready to obey. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your way. And it is difficult to render literally what is written in Hebrew there, but it's full of value. Literally, it should be translated, put your heart on your ways. Put your heart on your ways. Not my brain. Not your brain, but your heart. To walk with a heart for Christ. A heart to please him. A heart not to do my own will. That's always sin. My own will is always sin. But to do his own will. The will of the one who is wonderful. Consider ye your life, your ways. Put your heart on your ways. Why he says that? To test where we are. To test what is preeminent in my life. It is my pleasure, my taste, the things I like, or my Lord, my Savior. It's an important question. If I don't answer to that question, now I will have to answer in the throne of Christ. You see, when we will enter, before we enter into heaven, we will have to be in the judgment seat, I think, of Christ. Excuse me if not the proper expression. We have to, and everything has not been judged on the heart should be the judge there. And we will have his voice who tell us his appreciation on what we have done. Someone, some of us, maybe me, we will, full of shame, we read that in 1 John. For the Israelites, they should have make up their mind before. Why did the Lord say that in verse 7? For in verse 6, he says, you have sown much and bring little. You have done this and you have nearly nothing. The result of that, brother and sister, when we met happily to be around the Lord, there is a strength. But when we do it by routine, it is boring. What has been our meetings for us in France, for you here? What has been our meeting? Have they been, as they should, meeting where the Lord is seen, touched? We have read it, some of these expressions in the beginning of the first chapter of 1 John. So they should have said, something is wrong. Something doesn't work like it is. We work and we do so this and that, and nothing gets out. A little further, it is the Lord say, or verse 9, I did blow upon it. It done, not for me, I blow upon it. And then the Lord, in all his kindness for us, explain. Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Oh Lord, may the Lord give us that concern from the whole church, yes, but also for the meetings around him. That concern. In one psalm, one of the psalms, I don't remember the number on the spot, it is said, if I don't put Jerusalem above the first of my joy. Jerusalem, the place where we meet God, where the Israelites, it must, for the psalmist, it was the things who must be above the first of his joy. So, dear brother and sister, can I say to go and be around the Lord the first of my joy? Can I say that? If I don't say that, I have something to put in order with the Lord. I must tell you, Lord, you have so loved me. And look how few I respond. Look, my heart is so dry. There are so few places for thee in my heart. We must, if everyone will settle that, we will see the Lord. And that will be wonderful, wonderful hours around him. Wonderful hours where we see him. A French hymn say, we, in that time, our God, our eye have seen thee, our hand has touched thee. You see the Lord, touch him. Not a sort of idea we have in our brain, but a reality for the face. Verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is still from you. That you is important, stay from you. And the earth is stay from her fruit. God can never bless the flesh. Never. We cannot expect he bless the flesh. Sometimes we say, well, of course, my conduct is mixed, or the conduct of such and such person is mixed. They are from flesh, they are from, but we must tolerate that for me or for the other. That's the same. No, dear brother. God bless the face. God bless hearts who look upon him. God bless hearts, face will rely on him, will ground on him. Verse 12. Then something occurs. Something I would like to occur in my own assembly in France, as you certainly all want, occurs in all. They obey. The Lord speaks, they obey. Sometimes when I visit people, you see, I visit people who are sometimes very isolated in some remote part of France. And sometimes I am ashamed. I'm ashamed by some of the Christians I met. We arrive, we have an intercourse. They ask a question. What does the word say on this and that? And then I find souls. When I show them what the word says, quickly, on the spot, they don't bargain, they obey. And sometimes when I see that, I say, well, I'm not so quick to obey. I'm not so quick. I'm not that heart who say, well, the Lord shows something, I put away all my old thoughts on the subject. You see, it's refreshing, but it's also something will make us shameful. Dear brother, maybe we will be those men who listen. You see, obey with the remnant of the people, obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. Haggai is nothing. I am nothing. A brother is nothing. But what is important is what God say through somebody. What we are. We are all, we need exactly the same reprehension. We need the same, we need to be kept, we are nothing. But what says the Lord? And in the first epistle to this Thessalonian, it is saying, retain what is good. What is good is come from him. What is bad is come from the man. You have not something in the middle. What is good come from above. Hello, then, as they obey, the Lord will speak. And it is a great rule in the word. God doesn't give us instruction for all our life on all the instruction in one time for all our life. That's not true. God wants us to rely on him day after day. And he gives us the instruction to walk day after day. He won't give me the instruction to walk next month. Next month, if I say I will do this and that, what said the Epistle of Jack? It's pride. It's pride. I don't know what be to tomorrow. God say, and he wants his child. Every of his child looking at him and ask, Lord, lead me today. Lord, show me thy will today. Oh, dear brother and sister, we miss that. We lack that. We lack that simple dependency on him. Many things will completely change in our life if we every day begin our day and say, lead me, O Lord. I cannot lead myself. I am not that strong to do that. I remember a dear servant of the Lord, now we wait for the Lord. He used to say, remember that Satan is stronger than you. That is quite true. And a Christian may have the thought of Satan. You have an example in the Gospel of Matthew. You have a man who has been taught from the Father. I speak of Peter. And the Lord, he say, you are the Lord, he say, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, It is not thou, but it is my Father who has revealed that. And what do you read some line further? The Lord speaks of his death. And Peter says something. No, Lord, that won't arrive. And what said the Lord? Did the Lord say, "Oh, Peter, you are wrong"? It's bad to say that, dude. Get away, Satan. Get away, Satan. In my mind, I may have the thought of the day. A thought, in fact, the thought of the devil. So I said, the brother said, Satan is stronger than you. But he always had after. But Christ has overcome Satan. And it is wonderful to see. I'm myself, nothing. No strength, no wisdom. But Christ is my wisdom. I read that in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Christ is my justice. All I need, I have in him. Wonderfully, fully. The richness of Christ, they are unmeasurable. So the Lord speaks again and again in that wonderful passage. What he says to the people who hear him. What does he say to the people who obey? He says, I am, verse 13, I am with you. He is with me, in a fleshly way. He is not with me if I do my own will, but he is with me when I turn my face towards him. When I fear upon his word, he is with me. And then when the heart is stirred, when the heart obeys, then the Lord can do something more in my heart. He can awake the heart, as we have in verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirits of the Zerubbabel and and Joshua and the spirit of all the people. He worked in the heart of his own. He worked. And that's wonderful. We cannot work in our own heart. I cannot, much more, I cannot work in the heart of somebody else. But the Lord, when the eyes of the Christians are towards him, I want to work in their heart and to produce what is really needed. You see, I am not able to tell even for myself what I need. We have prayer meetings and we have personal prayer and we ask what we see, but what I need deeply, I don't know. I'm not able to see all I need, but he knows and he wants to do that very thing in me, for he wants me to glorify him in my small state. And then end of verse 14, what's followed when the Lord has worked in the heart? They came, end of verse 14, and did work in the house of the Lord. They worked not with their intelligence. They don't work with their things they have decided between them. No, they worked, for the Lord has done something in the heart. The roots of their work is that. Sometimes we say we shall do gospel outreach, or we shall do this and that. No, brother. This is the work of the Lord in my heart, in the heart of my brother and sister, who brings us together to work as he wants. Second chapter. Again, the Lord speaks. Next verse I wanted to emphasize, I don't find it. No. Monter à la montagne. Excuse me, this. To go to the mountain.
Go to the mountain, that's in verse 8 of chapter 1.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've missed it. I want to insist on that verse. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. What does mean to go to the mountain? To go to the mountain, that means to go in a place, a quiet place, far from the noise, the business of the world. In the mountain, when we go hard on the top of the mountain, there are never a crowd. We are quiet. Quiet in approaching God. Go to the mountain. That's important. We cannot expect that God awake our heart if we have not a life, a private life with Him. It's not possible. You see, there is a beautiful expression in the chapter 3, I think, of 1 Peter. It's about the sister. But anyway, it's for us. It is the hidden man of the heart. Something between the heart and the Savior. Something hidden for the other. That something will occur. A life, a private life with Him. Have I that private life? Go up to the mountain. And then bring wood. Bring wood. What speaks of us for us wood? Of course, if we are flesh, if we are in the flesh, we'll say, well, to build a building, we need stones, but also we need wood. But the house of the Lord speaks of the sanctuary. The house of the Lord speaks of the church also. And the wood, what is the wood? I'm convinced that wood speaks of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it is written that the message Paul has is the word of the cross. And it is explained that it's incompatible with the human wisdom. Incompatible. The word. And that's message implicates not a fleshly exercise, for the flesh cannot grasp what is the cross of God, of the Lord, cannot grasp. The flesh can paint it on picture, but to know what it is the face we can do that. It is the affection produced by the Lord, by His Spirit in our heart, will give us to give some words on the cross of Christ. And more we go in the intimacy of Christ, more is cross as important for us. The cross is, of course, from where our salvation comes, but also all what you have, what we have. Christ has got that, has paid that at the cross. And the cross for us is something we will remain. When you see in Revelation 5 the Redeemer arrive in heaven, they see the glory of the one who is seated on the throne. But look, just after that, they see Him like a lamb who was slain. It is not possible to make a picture of that. It's not possible. It's not possible, for it's not fleshly, but the affection of the believer, of the redeemed, for their Savior, as a Savior in the middle of the throne, their affection will see him as a lamb. You see, the souvenir, the memoir of his sacrifice is there. In seeing the glory, glory, the heart will see also the Lord as a lamb who was slain. So you see the importance of the cross of Christ. In that Christianity, less and less important. Even the idea of meeting around the Lord for the breaking of the bread is something was done very quickly. And to be there, to adore Christ, to consider what he has done, to speak to the Father of the glory of Christ down here, something more and more forgotten. In some place, we don't speak of that at all. It's important. You see, a Christian who progress in Christian life will be marked also by the place of the Christ of Christ. Bring wood and build a house. Oh Lord, build a house with a hidden life with him, the cross of Christ having its place, the place it deserved in our heart. Now, in chapter 2, verses 3, God speaks again. Who is left among you that saw this house in our first glory? Ah, we must sing. We have heard in about 150 years or 670 years before, we have heard that there were meetings where the heart was so full of Christ that they could not even finish the hymn. We have heard of that, and not once. We have heard meetings where Christ was so much in front of them that the tears were flowing from every face. That's real meetings. What we are so feeble, so ruined, so touched by the spirit of the world, what we are, that God wants to bring us back. These poor, feeble remnant could not do anything. They could not build a house. But God can. And God wants. And if the time doesn't permit, but if we look to Zechariah, we will see that poor Zerubbabel is the royal seed of Israel. He should be the king if the things were all right. He could not. He's just a governor. He will put the last stone on the top of the house. We should use that in Zechariah. For Zerubbabel, is somebody strong? No, the Lord is strong. The Lord is strong. And it is important that we remember. It is said where we come from. This is what is said in the first epistle of Revelation 2, the epistle to Ephesus. Remember from where thou comest, hast fallen. Remember, we must have an extremely accurate view of our state. Otherwise, it is not possible to be cured. We understand that when we have a disease. If we have a correct diagnostic, of course, we could have a correct treatment. If in the things of God, we need the correct diagnostic. Remember from whence you are fallen. Verse 4. Yet now be strong. Be strong. To say somebody who feels his feebleness to be strong. I hope, brother and sister, that we all feel very strong, very, very weak. But he is strong. He is strong. The strength is in him. That wonderful promise When I'm feeble, then I am strong, say the Apostle Paul. So be strong. To be strong is to take thy strength in Christ. That we have in chapter 6. So if I don't make the number of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the might of his power. Be strong. And be strong, Joshua. It's not a question only of Zerubbabel. It's not a question of Joshua, but it's also all the people of the country. And to an assembly. Be strong, the older brother. Be strong, the older sister. Be strong, all the younger brother, the younger sisters. Be strong. Strong in Christ. In Christ, the only solid foundation. Be strong in him. And then, be strong, fear the Lord, and work. We always want to do things in another way. We want to work before being strong. And we don't succeed to anything. Without strength, we cannot do anything proper in the eyes of the Lord. Be strong and then work. But work not alone. Work, for I am with you. God gives the order, gives the strength. God gives the strength, and God leads the things. That's important things to remember. You have something of that in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, you have a man, Joshua, with a pointed servant to lead the people into the land of Israel. But he must, before all fight, he must meet the chief of the army of the Lord. He must know that he is not the chief of his brethren. And that is an important lesson. We are never the chief of anybody. Christ must be my chief. He is the head of the church, but he should be the head of everyone. For he is the head on everything to the church with his body. We have that in Ephesians chapter first chapter. Verse 5, according to the word I have covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear not. Now the work has awakened the heart, the Lord has begun to lead them, and he go on remembering the strength of his word. That's important, to be sure of him. A faithful Christian is sure of Christ, and he is absolutely not sure of himself. Quite the opposite. The faithful Christians don't rely on himself at all. Less we rely on ourselves, more we rely on the Lord, more it's mark of faithfulness. My spirit remains among you. So we have. We have been struck by the hymn we have sung since several days. All those hymns express the assurance of the strength, of the might, of the heart of the Lord. We feel that the brother who have written those hymns, we feel that they have really enjoyed for themselves. Now it's open for you and for me. It's open for you and for me. Not with all the greatness as it was before. Not with the power as it was before. But it is a way we open to us until